When it comes to launching a business, we talk a lot about having the big idea, the vision. But you know, there's more to it than that. Like setting up your website, your phone number, managing public records, staying on top of compliance. It's the unglamorous stuff that can be a lot to manage. And that is where Northwest Registered Agent can help. You don't just form a business. You start with a complete foundation built for privacy, credibility, and growth. Northwest Registered Agent has been helping small business owners and entrepreneurs launch and grow businesses for nearly 30 years. They are the largest registered agent and LLC service in the U.S. with over 1,500 corporate guides who are real people who know your local laws and can help you and your business every step of the way. Don't pay hundreds or thousands of dollars for what you can get from Northwest for free. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/solversfree and start using free resources to build something amazing. Get more with Northwest Registered Agent at northwestregisteredagent.com/solversfree.
I wonder if you have a different way of steering people into looking beyond the obvious.
And I think it is to go back and become a two-year-old child. And if you can learn to be a two-year-old child, you actually will understand what I'm talking about, right? So what happens is anytime, Jason, I don't know if you ever had a two-year-old, it doesn't matter what you tell them. The first thing they say is, but why? Every time someone says, this is what it is, you say, but why?
Running a business means solving problems. I tell you how the smartest entrepreneurs do it. Hi, I'm Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, and this is Problem Solvers. Do you have that person in your life who every time you talk to, they just say something that you think, I'm going to be repeating this for like the next 10 years? Just that person who has figured out this, I'm going to use the word counterintuitive, you'll know why in just a second, this really counterintuitive way of approaching life and business, and it has succeeded so wildly for them that you have to say, you know what? This must actually be the way that this counterintuitive way in which this person thinks is something I need to calibrate my own brain to. Do you have that person? Because I do. And guess what? I get to talk to him right now. His name is Naveen Jain. Naveen and I have known each other a long time. This guy has built businesses to billions of dollars multiple times. He is the author of multiple books, which all of which you should read. But most recently, Naveen, Counterintuitive: Unconventional Principles for Success in Life and Business. He is the most recently founder and CEO of Viome. And Naveen brings to business, and he'll tell you himself, this attitude of, look, you don't have to be the smartest person in the room. In fact, you shouldn't be the smartest person in the room. You should just be the person who's able to look at things differently. And that is what I want this conversation to be about today, is looking at things differently. Naveen, always great to talk to you. Welcome to Problem Solvers.
Well, first of all, what an honor and a pleasure to be with you. You bring so much positive energy to every conversation we have. And I just really look forward to it.
Oh, I really appreciate that. And you too, which is why we have been talking for years. Okay, Naveen, so you've said this to me many times, but I want you to set us up here and talk about why you've written this book. You say, look, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I just ask better questions. And I think then people ask themselves, well, okay, what are the better questions to ask? And how does that lead to a new way of seeing opportunity?
What is really interesting is that what is intelligence? I mean, let's just start with a basic, simple thing. What is an intelligence, right? Mm. When people say, this person is really intelligent, what they really mean most of the time is he's very knowledgeable. That means they have a certain subject, they're extremely knowledgeable, and if they're really knowledgeable, you call them intelligent. And I think they are very different things. People who are absolute expert in their field, they're extremely knowledgeable. They may or may not be intelligent. And they're two separate things. A person who is really intelligent is able to come into a completely different field, a completely different subject. And after a few minutes of listening, to be able to ask the really questions that are so deep, the other person says, wait a sec, Are you an expert in this field? Because you have no idea, but you're challenging that foundation that most people just assume. Wait a sec. Nobody ever asked me that. This person must really know something, because why is he asking such in-depth question? And you're asking because you're just naive. You don't understand, right? So it is that naivety. It is that idea of challenging the foundation of everything that experts have taken it for granted is what makes you, to some extent, an expert. So you are an expert, but you're an expert in a different thing. You're an expert in actually distilling the concept of what everyone would actually miss out on.
Do you think that you can consciously become one or the other kind of person? Because in a way, what you're describing is someone who is able to specialize in a specific area, which is valuable. That is a valuable person, right?
Absolutely.
But then there's this other kind of person who can walk into any arena because their skill set is different. Their skill set is not a deep knowledge in one specific space. Their skill set is, I suppose you might say, a kind of pattern matching, a kind of curiosity, an ability to draw out and reorganize information. Do you discover if you are one of those two people, or can you consciously become one of those two people?
And an answer to that is actually, yes, you can consciously become one of the two people, because to become an expert, you have to dedicate this 10,000 hours learning about that thing. That doesn't make you any better. It just makes you a different person. So this idea that, you know, if you want to be good at something, you have to spend 10,000 hours doing something. And to me, that's a fallacy. That is a fundamental thing that I think needs to be challenged. So if you go back in the last century, or even last two decades, the most successful people were the ones that actually had all the answers. They were the expert. They knew exactly what to do in healthcare. They knew exactly what to do in here. And what's really happening in the age of intelligence, the most successful people are not going to be the one that have all the answers. They're going to be the one that have all the right questions. Because at the end of the day, answers are going to be available to you. What matters is what questions are you asking. So think about when you say the Buddha got enlightenment. And I'm going to just simply say that, what if there's a God GPT out there? And it's a matter of Buddha sat there for 10 years and said, God, what question would I ask this oracle? And he thought, and came up with a question. And the God said, here's the answer. He said, oh my God, what an enlightenment I had, right? So It was all about thinking for a long time to ask the right question. And that is where it is going to be, is what questions are you asking? When you have 20 billion people on planet Earth, are you going to be asking how to grow more food? Or are you going to be asking the question, why do we eat food? And neither question is wrong, but they get to a completely different way of thinking.
Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
It's true. And I realized, Naveen, when I introduced you, that I didn't give your whole bio, which may not even be necessary because so many people know you. But it's worth noting that you, in talking about being a person who can navigate different spaces, are absolutely that person. You've worked in so many different fields and built success across space, across the internet. You helped grow the X Prize, Singularity University. I mean, there's so much that you've done, and that is all you're saying about asking these questions that don't just get to the function of something, right? I like your example there. How do we either make more food, or why do we eat, is really interesting. So it's like, one is about the function. How do we improve the function? The other is about almost trying to get underneath the premise of a question to see if underneath that is an opportunity that everyone else is missing. Is that right?
So a lot of the people either end up solving the symptom of the problem and they never understand the root cause of that problem, or they believe the symptom is the root cause. And they simply, anytime somebody describes a problem. So for example, if someone walks into your house and you say, look, my carpet is always dusty. And what vacuum cleaner should I buy? There is an expert who will tell you which vacuum cleaner to buy. Or someone would walk into the house and say, it's not the problem with the vacuum cleaner. Your vacuum cleaner is totally fine. It's your windows that are a real problem because that's where the dust is coming from. If you fix your windows, you don't need a new vacuum cleaner. And that's a completely different way of looking at the thing and say, are you simply saying, hey, let's buy a better vacuum cleaner because now you still have a dust. You're just saying, can I get the dust out rather than solve the underlying problem of why the dust is coming into the house to begin with.
I really love that. I'm trying to think as you're talking about maybe a simple starting point so that people can do that. And the thing that popped to my mind, and I do a version of this with many of my own projects, is I ask the question, is this actually the problem? Because if you're looking at a problem and you're saying, is this actually the problem? It's worth then considering, is the thing that I'm looking at actually the symptom of a different problem? Is this actually a limited way to view the opportunity? So that's something I do, but I wonder if you have a different way of steering people into looking beyond the obvious.
And I think it is to go back and become a two-year-old child. And if you can learn to be a two-year-old child, you actually will understand what I'm talking about, right? So what happens is anytime, Jason, I don't know if you ever had a two-year-old, it doesn't matter what you...
I have two two-year-olds who are now 7 and 11, but yeah, so not that far away.
So remember, when they're 2 years old, it doesn't matter what you tell them. The first thing they say is, but why? But why? And when you get to the three whys, you're starting to get to the, at least somewhere close to the root cause of that problem, right? So that means the thing is, every time someone says, this is what it is, you say, but why? And that is what most people miss out on. So when you ask them, is this a problem? The answer is, yes, it is the problem. Is it? But why is this the problem is really the right question, right? So when you tell someone, is fresh water a problem where people don't have access to fresh water and people get sick, is that a problem? The answer is yes, it is a problem. But when you ask them, why is that the problem? You will see, because majority of the fresh water is used for agriculture. Do you say, oh, is that the reason why we have the lack of fresh water? Until you realize majority of the agriculture is used for actually feeding the cattle. So you say, is that really the problem? And my point is, that is where you start to see a fresh water problem starts to become a really a synthetic biology problem rather than a, some type of nanofiltering problem, right? Mm. And that is really the understanding of what is the things. And I think you and I talked about in the past that even when I started Vio, it actually was the same thing. Well, everyone in the industry. So here is the problem. So, you know, I think we talked about this framework in the past. Why this? Why now? Why me? And this book, Counterintuitive, actually goes deeper into that idea of a framework. That anytime you want to have this idea of solving any problem, ask yourself, is why should I solve this problem? So why this? And then is this now the right time to be actually attacking this problem? And the last thing is, what is it about me? What questions am I asking which are different from what everyone else has been asking? That means, am I looking at this problem completely differently than anyone else? Because your perspective of that problem changes the problem, right?
Yeah. And by the way, this is, I said in the beginning that you say things that I then go repeat for the next 10 years. And this is one of them. I've quoted you on this many times, probably on this show. Maybe people have even heard me do it. But I just want to unpack that a little bit more because it's so impactful. So, right. So because it's why this is really evaluating whether or not this is a big opportunity worth solving. Why now is a really interesting question, because what you're really interrogating is, has something changed recently that enables you to solve this problem now? Is there a new technology? Has something changed in culture, consumer behavior? And then why me is fascinating, because the way in which I think most people would approach that question is asking whether or not I have the particular talents or skills or knowledge base. But what you're saying, which you said earlier in this conversation, is throw that out the window. Actually, why you is, are you able to look at this differently than other people? Which sometimes means that actually your skill or your value that you bring to it is that you are unfamiliar with the space, and therefore you're not trapped by the common assumptions that everyone else inside the space would have.
That is correct, Jason. So I think, you know, the minute you become expert at something, you focus, and this is where I think most people who are entrepreneurs go wrong, is they focus on how to do something rather than what problem needs to be solved. So when you come into a problem, you never should focus on how to do something. You should focus on what is it, that problem that needs to be solved. Because when you focus on how, you limit yourself to what you know. When you focus on what, you say, great, here is a problem that needs to be solved. I don't know how to do it. It doesn't mean it problem can't be solved. That means now you're saying, okay, what team do I need to assemble that can help me solve the problem? But I am absolutely convinced that is the problem that needs to be solved. The thing that you think is your liability can actually become your asset. And that is really the thing, is not knowing something about the industry is not the liability. It is your biggest asset, because you are able to now challenge the foundation of everything that every expert has taken it for granted. And that is where the disruption comes from.
Right. And I love that counterintuitive, if you will, way of thinking, which is I think people often hold themselves back from pursuing something because they think that they have some weakness that will inhibit their ability to succeed. But it's always worth asking, and I tell this to founders all the time, I'm sure you do too.
Yeah.
It's always worth asking, is there a way in which you could view that thing that you see as a weakness as a strength and then present it that way to other people? I'm not your expert, but I am your guy who can look outside of the space and see what you might be missing. At which point everyone's like, okay, we're in. Tell me what's going on. Because I'm owning what I don't have and then turning it into something that they need.
Actually, so in some sense, it's not really about thinking outside the box. It's really thinking in a different box, because you have all the different boxes, the knowledge of 100 other boxes. And now you're saying, hey, which of these knowledge can I apply to this new box that I know nothing about? Right. But you've seen hundreds of boxes.
Right. Right. So, you know, you called the book counterintuitive, and the word counterintuitive built into it, of course, is that there is a intuitive way that people either all naturally understand or have all recognized to be right. And I'm sure that throughout your journey in business, you're just constantly identifying and collecting these things that people take for granted or aren't really questioning, the intuitive parts of business that you feel like aren't actually correct. What do you tend to see when you talk to a founder who's trying to build something and is looking at things too, quote unquote, intuitively?
Yeah. So first thing is your belief system. So, you know, people say, I believe it when I see it. What it turns out, what really happens is you see what you believe. And that's really very interesting. So it's not you believe what you see. You actually only see things that you believe, because you're never seeing the reality. You're seeing a perception of that reality. And let me give you an example. If you have 10 people walk into the room, all 10 people, you ask them and they leave, what they saw will be completely different things, even though they were the same door, same thing they walked in, and they will see completely different things, because they're pattern matching. They're seeing completely different things. Somebody would say, oh my God, there was a painting of a person holding a Gucci bag. And someone like me is like, what's a Gucci bag? I don't know. My point is, people see completely different things. Now, other thing is, this idea of when we see the blue sky, we all intuitively will say, in fact, it's a blue sky, and you looks like a barrier you see is on top of the earth. That's a barrier called sky. Yeah. And now the fact is, there is no sky. Sky doesn't really exist. It's simply the blue light that scatters, and it looks like a barrier we call sky. And if you look further, there is no color called blue that exists in nature. It's simply the photons, the electromagnetic waves that hit our retina and our visual cortex makes up this color. But guess what? Everyone will take it for granted we are seeing this blue color, until someone challenges, wait a sec, what if, does every species see the blue color? And the answer is probably not, right? It is something you take it for granted that the color is a blue color and everyone sees the blue color. And until we start to see it, maybe dogs don't see the blue color. Maybe the rats don't see the blue color. Maybe the bats don't see the blue color. And maybe when someone is hearing something, seeing something, maybe our limited view of the wave light that we see, or limited wavelength of the sound that we hear, Maybe somebody has extra, rather than thinking this person is crazy or have different abilities, we say this person is a moron. How can he be hearing Taylor Swift here when there is no Taylor Swift playing? Whereas the person is actually hearing the FM wave and say, oh my God, right here, I can hear the Taylor Swift because you put FM radio, you can hear it, right? So point is, the sound may exist, just because we can't hear it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And that is where the counterintuitive nature comes in, is that you have to be able to challenge that maybe there are people with different abilities are able to see things that we can't see or hear things that we can't hear.
It's almost like every time you lock in a particular assumption, right? Every time you say this is true, then everything that comes next has to be built off of that foundational fact or assumption. And so then the next time you say, well, because this is true, then that decision has to be made. Now you've locked yourself into a kind of even smaller space. And if you're wrong about any of these original assumptions, then you're moving yourself further and further out on a statistical limb. And that makes it really impossible to recognize new opportunities.
What I'm saying is that your belief system really ends up locking into that. So ask your belief system, why do you believe that is true? And that your belief system, and it's not that it is right or wrong, but you have to learn to challenge. So if your wife says, oh, you're late again, and now you're thinking in your mind, she's accusing that, why are you late today? What was the thing, important thing you're doing in the office? Are you having an affair? You're in your mind, you're going through all of the things. And all she may be meant to say was, Jason, I'm so sorry you have to work so hard for you to be able to help us, you know, be actually successful in our life, to be able to have a food on the table and do everything. And maybe that was simply empathy on her part. In your mind, you're thinking, she's challenging me, why am I late? And this, I think another thing that I was, you know, we may or may not have thought in the past, is this idea that every entrepreneur attaches to an outcome of a success or a failure. What if I fail? Mm-hmm. And what I learned as an entrepreneur is that everything you do, think of it as an experiment. Yeah. And when you have an experiment, it has an outcome A or outcome B. And when outcome A happens, you do C. When outcome B happens, you do D. But there is no success, no failure. It is simply you learn from every experiment that gives you the more information to take the next step. And in that case, you take away the emotion of, oh my God, I failed. No, you have an outcome B that gives you new information to take the next step.
Yeah, that's right. I love that framing, because if you think about an experiment and the point of an experiment, the point of an experiment is not for it to succeed. The point of an experiment is to gather data. And therefore, anything that you do, any outcome becomes a positive outcome because you've gathered data.
And that's the thing. I mean, Jason, that is the what most entrepreneurs don't get it, because they always say, oh, if the outcome, what they believe what going to be the outcome, if that outcome does not happen, it's a failure. Whereas the only thing you should be thinking about is, did I collect new data?
Yeah. Naveen, I'm gonna just transition us for just a minute because I want to hear the latest at Viome, because you guys are working on such incredible stuff there. So let me just remind people before we move on to that part that the book is called Counterintuitive: Unconventional Principles for Success in Life and Business. And now, after hearing Naveen talk, you understand exactly what that counterintuitiveness is. Naveen, so Viome is, well, at least the core product, which I did a couple of years ago, is, you know, you send off a couple samples. What is it? It's
spit, saliva, touch of your stool, right? Mm-hmm. Your shit, spit, shit, and bleed.
Okay, spit and bleed. And then you will, and you send that off and you get an incredible range of information about your health. Solutions on improving. But you have also been, back when we talked a couple of years ago about Viome, you were also on the verge of some pretty incredible, new tests and so on. So what's the latest over at Viome?
So first of all, we analyze your 100 million biomarkers. We can tell you what's happening, what food to eat, why you should eat them, a science paper, what food not to eat, why. We personalize your supplements. And now we also have a clinical product. So now we have at least 500 clinics that actually do our clinical tests, where we are able to now show the progression of 25 most common diseases. Where are you in the progression of heart disease? Where are you in the progression of high blood pressure? Is it coming down? Is it going up? And then we also now, for the first time in human history, have stage 1 pancreatic cancer test. This is how I lost my dad. So it's really important to me because I did not die. His cancer was not diagnosed until stage 4. So we now, for the first time, is going to have a stage 1 pancreatic cancer test, stage 1 oral cancer test, stage 1 throat cancer test, IBD test. And we are validating our test for colon polyps, which is 6 to 10 years before you develop the colon cancer. So we really feel these early diagnosis, a clinic test and a consumer test that keeps you healthy with a personalized food and personalized supplements and personalized biotics is really my way of contributing back to understanding the human biology at a molecular level, preventing the disease from happening, diagnosing them early, and then hopefully reversing them using foods and medicine. So
that's incredible. And just to bring it full circle, let's just note, you're not a doctor. You got into this not because you understood exactly how to create all of this science, but rather just because you were a guy asking the right questions.
That's right. I mean, we basically focus, instead of looking at your genes, we focus on your gene expression, and we realize that gene expression is a key, and not just which organisms are in your gut, but understanding what they're actually producing, what they are actually expressing, and how they're interacting with your immune system will be the key to solving this problem. So by asking a different questions, we were able to solve the problem in a completely different way that most people were thought were unsolvable.
Right, right. And oh, by the way, I should also, I also don't want to sound cavalier. I'm like, you're not a doctor and you built all this. You're not after you asked the right questions. You built a company. You hired a ton of scientists and doctors.
That's right.
And they're the ones who actually built this. But that's what you do, right? You go into a circumstance where you're able to see the things that the experts aren't. And then once they can be brought in and recognize the opportunity that you can uniquely see, you can harness their skills to build something that's truly innovative. So,
that's right. We found the technology at Los Alamos National Lab, hired the scientists, hired the head of IBM Boston Research, hired the multiple doctors, and this is how you solve the problem.
It's amazing. Naveen Jain, every time I talk to you, I get smarter. I really appreciate your time. Again, once again, whatever. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Counterintuitive is the book. Unconventional Principles for Success in Life and Business. Go pick it up now. Naveen, great to talk to you.
Thank you, Jason.